The topic for today is empowerment. And I think this is an interesting word because we use it a lot in conscious communities and circles where we're like, yes, I'm going to this retreat to become empowered. I did this, you know, event or activity. It's an empowerment workshop. And again, I wonder, have we really looked at what that means? And have we looked at what the distinctions are? Because sometimes we mix these spiritual words with things that aren't really the meaning. Like, I think empowerment often gets mixed with entitlement. That empowerment gets mixed with entitlement. My own definition of empowerment would be that it's what moves the masses, while entitlement is for the individual. Now, this is interesting because normally we would think empowerment is of the individual, right? Is of yourself or myself. I love that, right? That it's like, I am empowered. What makes you empowered? Is it an outward show of strength? Is it an action you take? Is it something you've done or achieved? What makes you empowered? And I like to think that it's an inner strength that starts to serve outwardly. Now, it can serve yourself first. I think that's really important. And then it starts to serve a mass group, circle, community as well. It lifts others up. This is empowerment. Entitlement tends to be something we grasp onto things, resources, and we take it. And that's why I wanted to make the distinction, because I hear this a lot when people talk about empowerment. They say, yeah, I told them my truth and I did what I wanted to do. Okay, that's great if you're clear about what you want. Just doing it, just taking it, just making it happen, forcing it to happen, that's not empowerment. Right? But having the inner strength and confidence to claim what you want and what you desire, to receive support for it, to allow yourself the permission to build and cultivate it, that is empowering. Sometimes the most empowering thing is actually just getting the obstacles that are in the way out of the way. It's not about building something grander and bigger. It's about finding where the strength is that you've been holding back and letting it start to express. I have a saying that I've shared in a lot of these classes, and it's to fill up your own cup. And this is an interesting saying because a lot of times people, again, in conscious communities, they're like, but isn't that selfish? Yes. And I invite you to be selfish. Be as selfish as you can. And I'm not saying just be selfish until you're satisfied. Keep being selfish. And what that means is be in your self-care, right? Keep filling up your cup, because what happens is so often, instead of filling up our cup, what we're doing is our cup is maybe half full or even like barren. There's not even anything in our cup, but we're still going around because we think we have to be a good person. We're like, I should go do this for that person. And I'm going to go people please this person over here. And I'm going to take care of that person over there. And I'm going to show so much love to this person over here. And all the while, we're doing it from a mentality, even if subtly, of exchange. Because we're empty. Therefore, there's a part of us that wants to be filled. And so every action that we do, even though we say it's of service and for the good of all and selfless, it's not. I can't tell you how often I've seen couples, my wife and I, we do a lot of relationship coaching for people. And couples will come in, or people as they're starting to date, and they'll say the same thing. They're like, well, you know, I gave my heart and soul to this person, and I never got anything back. Is that why you gave your heart and soul to them? Because if it is, you started off wrong. You tried to make love an exchange and a possession that you exchanged hands with. You tried to make the showing and expressing of your heart something that needed to be rewarded instead of that was just overflowing. And so this is why I say fill up your own cup first. It's like what they say on the airplanes, right? If they're doing the emergency stuff and they say if the ventilator in the mass, if it falls down, take one for yourself first and then help somebody else or a child. And that's because if you're on empty, you can't really do much for others. And it's the same with life. It's the same with our hearts especially. Here's a funny one, or maybe interesting. Sometimes if we're in some of the deepest sorrows and challenges of our lives, best thing to do is go help somebody else. It does something at the psychological. I know you're like, what? It does something at the psychological, emotional, and energetic level. Right? At the psychological level, it tells your brain, hey, wait, if I'm taking the time and energy to go help somebody else, I must be safe enough that I'm not dying, that my survival is not at stake. Because that's what happens if we get into these places of survival mindset, right? And in that, it's all self-preservation. And in those challenges, it happens a lot because we're feeling threatened either in the identity or the lifestyle that we've created or even physically. If you're physically endangered, get out of the danger first. That's, you know, first step. Find safety. But once you're safe, start to fill up your cup with self-care and allow yourself to overflow that to others. So here's what happens. When you start to fill your cup up, and you're filling it up and filling it up, and all of a sudden, the cup starts to overflow. And it's a beautiful thing, because when it's overflowing, compassion and abundance and service, they happen automatically. You don't have to try to do it. Most of the time when we're trying to do those things, it's coming from an identity, an ego. And that ego will require an exchange. It won't recognition for it, validation for it. But when your cup is just full, then that's when you walk into a room and you're just smiling. And people are like, oh, wow, I love when you're around. Like, you bring this presence and this joy. And you're like, what do you mean? I don't know how. I don't know. Because you're just joyful. You're embodying it. So we start to dive into this journey today. And in that journey, like I said, I wanted to go both from the mind. And so we're talking about some concepts and philosophies, but also into the body, into the breath that you take in. And so throughout this, at any moment, if there's something that lands and maybe it sparks an emotion or sensation within you, I want you to take a deep breath into that. Feel it. A lot of times we run away from that which is new and unfamiliar. I'm using the word unfamiliar instead of uncomfortable because uncomfortable is too close to it could kill me. You guys ever have that? Like you're in a new situation and maybe it's your first time doing yoga or it's your first time going, do you want to move a little bit over from the pillow? Because I keep seeing you like going, okay, as long as you're good, I'm fine. It's kind of fun actually. I keep going over here on purpose. I'm like, ha ha. Forgot where I was. The idea of really coming back into the heart. Sometimes we're stuck in avoidances instead of what we desire in life. We're stuck in the things that we think we have to get past, our histories, our traumas, the walls, the things that make us worthy because we struggled enough to get there. Can I tell you guys a story? I love storytelling, can I? Yeah? Okay, cool. Several years ago, I used to live in San Diego, California, and I went with a bunch of buddies. We went hiking, and it was my first really, really big hike. We actually went outside of California to this mountain called Mount Whitney. It's the tallest peak in the continental U.S. It took us 3 or 4 days to get to the summit. And we get to the summit, and I was so proud of myself. I was so happy. I was like, wow, okay, I want a memento of this. And I saw this beautiful rose quartz. It was sitting on the ground, like near a bush, and I was like, I'm going to take this. And this will be my memory. This will be what reminds me forever that I achieved this thing. That I the effort, the energy it took for me to get to the summit of this mountain, to reach such a high point in my life, I'm going to hold on to this. And I put it in my pocket. And we started to walk down. And as we were walking down, we were doing these switchbacks, which means that you're kind of going back and forth and back and forth. And at every corner, they've kind of pushed a lot of the rubble and nature and stuff. They've pushed it over onto the side to clear the path, which meant there was a lot more really cool stones and sticks and other things on every corner. What was I doing? I was like, well, that's kind of cool too. Well, I'll collect that one. Well, that's pretty cool. I'll take a little bit of that. And I kept doing it, kept doing it. By the time we were almost to the bottom of the mountain, I looked like a chipmunk. I had these cargo pants on. All the pockets were full. I was wearing sandals. Not a good idea, like flip-floppy sandals. Don't do that on a hike. I'm a slender guy. I didn't have a belt on. My pants were starting to fall off. I had a 60-pound rucksack on. This is what I looked like on that last leg. I'm like, right? Struggling to get to the bottom. But I had accumulated so many moments of memory, things that from my history I was holding on to, good and bad. And by the time we got to the end, there was a park ranger down there, and she came up to us just to congratulate us. She went down the line saying, you know, shaking her hands, being like, congratulations, that was a great hike, like, glad you guys made it okay. And then she gets to me and she's like, what's going on with all your pockets? Like, what do you got in there? And I was proud, because we're sometimes proud, aren't we, of everything we've gone through in life to get to where we are. And I pulled out a handful. I was like, yeah, I'm taking this home. I'm going to put some on my altar and spread some around my house. I've got all these plans. And she smiled at me. Kind of one of those smiles where you know bad news is about to come. And she said, I love the idea, but I have to tell you, we have a policy here at the park. And I was like, okay, what's that policy? What you find in nature, you leave in nature. What do you mean? She said, you got to put it all back. I was like, I got to go back up there? No. You can just leave it here, but you can't take it home. Nothing? No. Started emptying my pockets out. I took it all out, and she was watching me the whole time. And then I finished, and I said, okay, thanks for nothing. And I started to walk away, and she's like, thank you for complying, but can you also empty the things that are in your backpack? Because I'm sure you're taking a few things there. I'm like, come on! Because we always save something for a rainy day, right? And so I emptied that out too. And you know what happened? As I started to walk away, my backpack was lighter, my pants were lighter, they actually weren't falling anymore. I could walk normally. You know how I felt? I felt at ease. Like my heart was lighter. And I think this is what we do in life. When we're holding on to all the histories and traumas and past conditioning, and this is a big one, the shields and protective walls that we no longer need. Some we might still, but a lot of them we don't. The armory, it's weighing you down. The challenges you might be facing today, it's because you're holding on to the challenges of yesterday. I'm going to say that again. The challenges you might be facing today is because you're holding on to the challenges of yesterday. So what starts to happen when you empty out those pockets? You start to let them go. You start walking with a little more ease, a little more spring in your step. You start to feel a little more empowered. See, we feel weighed down and heavy, sluggish, unable to do stuff, lazy, apathetic, when we're holding on to too much. And also when we feel helpless. Would you say that empowerment feels like something that when you're really confident, you feel like you can do anything, right? And what's the opposite of that? Helpless. And you feel like nothing's going your way and nothing's working out. And I think people feel helpless not because they don't have the capacity, but because all of their energy is invested in something else already. Most of the time, their history, their past. I get clients all the time. I do one-on-one healings at a healing center I own down the street. And while I'm doing these healings, I do a lot of energetic assessment, and I look at, you know, what's going on in the system, where the most energy is, where the least energy is. And I'm using the organ systems. And one of those organs is the large intestine. And the large intestine, its association to life patterns is elimination. What can we let go of? And a lot of times it's really interesting because clients will come to me because they have a history of trauma or different things that they're trying to release, they're trying to get past. And in the end, my recommendation to them and what's working through the session is, rather than focusing on trying to let that go, what if you start building what you want? Because all the energy we're putting into trying to figure out something of our past, trying to fix it, I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. If it's in your past, you can't fix it. It's done. It's gone. You can change your future and where you're headed, but you can't change what's already happened. It's a really important concept to get. When you realize that, maybe the next question that comes to your mind is, yeah, but aren't I supposed to learn from my past and I am my past, like I'm the accumulation of everything that's happened, right? I don't think so. I like that some of you are nodding your heads no also. I like to say that your history brings you to where you are, but your choices make you who you are. Your history brings you to where you are, but your choices make you who you are. What happens to you is not technically your fault, right? It's a variable of many things. But what you choose to do with what happened to you is your responsibility. And I love that she used the word responsibility, because we're talking about empowerment today. And whenever we hear that word, responsibility, I think most of us kind of cringe because we think about our parents telling us that we're responsible to do our chores and things like that. And we're like, no. Or we think of responsibility as blame. It's your fault. And as she just said, there's a distinction. If you look at the word responsibility, split it up. The ability to respond. That's a good thing to have. I wouldn't shy away from that. Give me as much responsibility as possible. And when you have the ability to respond, you're empowered. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go and flex that and be like, I can do anything, I'm going to do this. Look at that boulder, I'm going to lift it up. Oh, why did I do that? I didn't improve anything, now I hurt myself. But instead, having the inner strength and the confidence, knowing that you can when called to. I'm going to say that again. Empowerment is the inner confidence that you can do what you need to do when called to. Share another little story with you guys. This is a little more personal one. My wife and I, when we first started to date, at one point we were in the States and we were in a camper van. We were taking like 2 weeks in this camper van, just touring around California. And I forget what it was, what had come up, but you know, when you're first starting to get to know somebody and you're diving deep in and you're in close quarters, you start getting triggered. Different things come up. It's a natural human thing. And that stuff was getting triggered in me. I'm a very emotional person. I let my emotions show and I started to show them. And my poor wife at that time, you know, she grew up in a really tiny town in Germany. Her father, she'd never seen him out. Her brother, she'd never seen him out. And here I am, this Latin guy with a lot of emotion. I'm like, just letting all this stuff come up. And she's just looking at me like, what do I do? And she just started petting me. And she said, this scares me because if you can break down like that, how can I feel that you could protect me? Ooh. The big thing that comes up in relationships between the masculine and feminine dynamic. And I shared similar to what I just said with the inner confidence. Her name's Christina. I said, Christina, you have to realize that right now, because we're safe, because nothing's going on, we're in this camper van, like I'm emoting because I can. But if somebody started knocking on the door aggressively and shouting at us, you better believe I'm going to shift like that and become a warrior. But I don't need to right now. That's really important. We waste so much energy trying to showcase the power that we have, the ability that we want to have often, instead of just knowing that it's there, holding it in reserve, ready, prepared. Because when you're showcasing it when it's actually needed, you don't have any left. So empowerment is the same thing, is that we become empowered when we start to invest and cultivate the aspects of ourselves that we want, not the ones that we're avoiding. And this is an interesting question to ask yourself. What do you want? What do you want? It's a really interesting question because most of the time when I ask my clients this, they start to respond to me and they're like, well, I don't want to struggle anymore. It's just been so hard up until now and I don't want to be sick or I don't want to be poor or I don't want heartbreak. I don't want this. I don't want that. I'm like, ooh, that's everything that you don't want. That's what you're avoiding in life. What do you want? And then they look at me with a blank stare because they're like, is this a trick question? Like, what do you mean, what do I want? What do you want? It's a simple question, but I think a lot of times we've never really directly asked ourselves, what do I want? And often the answer that will come back is very interesting to me. The answer will be like, I don't know. I don't know what I want. And I'm like, BS, belief system. I think everybody knows what they want. Otherwise, why are you disappointed when you don't get it? Right? Chocolate cake walks in here right now. Everybody's like, I know what I want. We know what we want. I think what the problem is that we don't recognize or realize we have permission to have what we want. We have permission to have what we want. And that's one of the keys that opens up the door of empowerment. That you have permission to have what you want. Now, there might be a little voice in the back of your mind right now that's telling you like, that sounds good for somebody else, but I'm not done enough. I've not proven myself, here's the key word, worthy. I haven't done enough. Anybody in here ever had that voice inside that's like, you're not enough? Yeah. Darn voice. I'm going to say something super counterintuitive right now. It's true. You're not enough. Not because mathematically, if you are 100% authentically expressing who you are, yeah, of course, then you're enough because it's 100%. But we're not 100% most of the time. We've fragmented ourselves into so many different places, into roles that we play, masks that we wear, shields that we hold, moments of our histories. And every time that something happened, we put a little piece of ourselves into it, and then we didn't bring it back. It's like maybe if as a child, your caretaker left the room at one time, and you started to freak out. You didn't even know what was going on, but your body, your nervous system was like, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And then they walk back in, you're like, I'm okay. But just in case, you put a brick into a wall, preparing yourself in case it happens again. And it would. There would be moments in your life of unexpected discomforts and spontaneous moments you weren't familiar with and new things and experiences and all sorts of stuff, good and bad. And every single one of them will cause a momentary shock to your nervous system. And for most of us, unconsciously, every single time that happened, we put another brick in the wall. Until suddenly, by the time that you reach this room, you've got 12-foot high concrete walls and like electric fences and drawbridges and dragons and moats and alligators and all sorts of things. You think I'm exaggerating, but you've seen some of those people where you bump into them by accident. They're like, ah, and you're like, dragon, right? I like to just bump into them again more intentionally. With heart. Because something happens when we get surprised in life. It's the defenses that react. It's called a knee-jerk reaction, right? But when something happens again, the brain is like, hey, wait, that happened again. Is it supposed to happen? Maybe it's supposed to happen. It's a funny psychology, right? Which is the same reason I say that if you make a mistake, do it again intentionally. If there's a part of you that's afraid for your identity because you tripped in front of some people, fall down again on purpose. Make it funny. Do something intentional instead of being trapped in the fear of something controlling your life. Because that's not empowering. If you're going to be a victim to the factors and variables of life, you're going to be struggling a lot. But if instead you start to plant the seeds of what you desire in life, now notice where the difference is in that. If you're trying to battle with what life presents you, if it's not something that you want, then you're avoiding reality. Guess which one's going to win? Reality, every time. But if you're planting seeds into the soil of reality, of what you want, then you're growing the fruits that you care for, the things that you want to cultivate. And then that's what reality starts to show you. Also, from a psychological standpoint, it's incredibly empowering to start focusing on what you want. Because you start to tell this part of the brain, the reticular activating system, what to focus on. And so all of a sudden, you start looking around you and seeing possibilities you didn't see before because you weren't looking for them, but they were there the whole time. It's like when you see a new model car or motorbike, if you're here, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm seeing those things everywhere. They were there the whole time. It's just you had to notice it and consciously make it significant. That's what happens in the brain. Whatever you make significant, the brain thinks is about your survival. Otherwise, it's kind of thinking, why would you make that significant if it's not to survive? But then when we're making our avoidances, our fears, our doubts significant, the brain is looking for more of those because it thinks the same thing. Oh, they're looking for that? Must be significant to survival. I'll keep looking for more. More dangers, more threats, more fears. So to start to empower ourselves, we get to do two things. It's actually quite simple. The first step, shed away the extra weight, the things that you don't really need. And it's going to be more than you think it is. How many of you, when you came traveling here to Bali, you packed a lot more than you needed? Right? And you probably even paid extra for the baggage. And you maybe even argued with the airline. You're like, why? I don't want to. Only to get here and realize all you needed was like a t-shirt, flip-flops, and a sarong, and you were good. Maybe some yoga clothes. So often that's what we're doing in life. We're going into the next moment carrying so much more than we need to. And that is extra weight bearing you down, disempowering you. So that's the first step. Shed the weight that's no longer needed. Shed the baggage that you do not need to take with you. Second step, start cultivating the pathway that you want. That's being able to look forward in a direction and say, I want to go there. I want that for my life. And now a little voice is going to come up again, and it's that worthiness voice. It's that enough voice. It's going to be like, you don't deserve that. You can't have that. Now we started to talk about why we have that voice. It's because we've put so many pieces of ourselves into these walls, into these moments, into these roles, that when we look back at ourselves, we're only looking at like 5 or 10%. So of course we're looking, we're like, that's not enough. That's not going to do. One of you said that your word was heal or healing. And I love that. Because to me, healing is integration. Healing is not fixing something broken. Not one of us, and I say this with absolute certainty, is broken in this room. You are all perfect exactly as you are. The only problem is you may have got some dust accumulated on top of that perfection. And that dust has obscured your vision, and you started to look through a story of yourself and think that that was who you are. But the moment you start to take away the stories, you reintegrate the reactions, the energy, the effort you're making to uphold the story or defend against the story, and you start bringing it back to your actual self and your capacity to be able to respond, your empowerment. Rather than the voice of the unworthiness, it's the voice of doubt that comes up. Maybe it's a doubt that that's really the right choice, or maybe that's a doubt of, do I really need that, or can I really do that? All these different things, right? Last week's topic, funny enough, was dealing with doubt. And the core of it that we came to was that doubt is another defense mechanism. That doubt is another defense mechanism. It keeps you from starting something. It keeps you from taking the first step because it feels scary. It feels unknown. It feels unfamiliar. And so instead, our mind convinces us of, no, that's not for you. You shouldn't do that. And then you just stay where you're at. And all of these different defense mechanisms, they're not just walls as barriers, but they're psychologies, they're stories that we tell ourselves. And every single one of those is weighing us down. And sometimes it's a story that says, I can't do something until somebody else is okay with it. I can't do something until somebody else stamps me with an approval and gives me permission, or I've done enough, or I've been enough, or I've earned enough. And every single one of those is you taking your power and saying, here, hold on to this for me. And at some point, when you arbitrarily say that I've done enough, you can give it back to me. It's not going to work. And that's why I loop back around to what I said earlier. Fill up your own cup first. And that means get clear about what you want in life. Get clear about your desires in life. Get clear of what you want to cultivate as the feeling of your life. And then communicate it. Express it. Start taking steps towards it. Now remember, we wanted to make sure there was a distinction between empowerment and entitlement. So when you get clear and you're like, yes, I want chocolate cake. He mentioned chocolate cake. Now I really want chocolate cake. He said it. He should get it for me. No. That's entitlement. Empowerment is to go, I'm capable of going and getting a chocolate cake myself. And I'm going to fill up my cup by doing that, right? Or I'm going to fill up my cup by getting a wonderful salad, or by going to a dance class, or by singing in a kirtan, or coming here and just resting, or maybe even just right now, it's more comfortable for you to lay back. Wonderful! You're filling up your cup by responding to what you're feeling. The next step after that is to express it outwardly. Because what we do is we stop having to do things alone. That's one of the most empowering things that we can do, is share. Share our own desires and also ask others about theirs. Because when you share what you want, all of a sudden the possibilities went from the limits that you had of your own past experiences and what you have been able to accomplish in the past to infinite, because now you can garner knowledge and support and influence and knowledge and wisdom from others. But you got to share it first. It's also one of the biggest things that I see happen in relationships when they're talking about communication. One will be saying like, this is all I've ever wanted, and you know, they just never really show up in that. And sometimes, well, have you told them? No, they should know. No. So much easier when we're given specific, clear instructions in life. Now, what you want doesn't mean that as soon as you get clear on it and as soon as you're like, yes, I can have that, that it's just going to magically appear. There is a quality of working towards something, but it doesn't mean working towards being worthy of it. It means working towards the accomplishment of it. See, there is a difference. Most of the time, we're putting more effort into feeling worthy to even start, that we're never putting deposits into the actuality of the thing. Which means when we finally start, maybe it's a self-employed business, like you want to start something. And you keep thinking, okay, but I haven't learned enough. Let me take 3 or 4 more courses, get a few more certifications. Let me do this. Let me make sure that I'm accredited here. Let me do this and that. And then maybe I can tell a few people, just my family and friends, that I'm thinking about possibly, maybe, in the future, doing this thing that I would like to do, if it's okay. Notice all the blocks, all the things. It's like you threw thumbtacks along your path. You're like, ow, ow, ow. No, never mind. But what if instead you went, you know what? I wanna start a business, and I'm going to start a business because I know I'm capable of it. I don't know everything I need to know right now, but I'm gonna start moving towards it. And as soon as you do that, you start building confidence. You start to feel more empowered because two things happen. Your brain, because whatever that is, it's probably new to you. Your brain doesn't like new stuff. Your brain is like, wait, we're doing something that's different than our normal routine. We've survived up until now doing what we did. You're changing things. That creates danger. And so your mind starts going like, no, 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 don't do it, don't do it. But then you do a little step. You don't have to make a big leap. I know, we're yogis in here. We're like, I'm at the bottom of the mountain. I want to get to the top of the mountain. I do one stretch. No, don't do that. Take small steps. And when you take a small step and you survive, your brain goes, oh, okay. And you take another step and your brain's like, hey. And then you start taking more steps and you, consistency, right? Consistent steps. Consistency, one of the most powerful, most empowering things that you can do in your life, to consistently move in a direction, in an action, towards a desire. All of a sudden your brain starts going like, I can get used to this. And it starts to pick up momentum with confidence and power. But you got to start. Which means the work is in walking the path, not in figuring out how to. Oh, I'm going to say that again. That the work is in walking the path, not in figuring out how to. It's not empowering to sit at home on your couch trying to figure out and strategize how you're going to change the world. What is empowering is if you just walk outside and smile at a stranger. Simple as that. You just change something. So I'm going to reiterate the concepts of it. It's the first one is, you know, shedding the layers of conditioning of all the things that we've carried and put on to protect ourselves in some way. The first image and visual actually I got when you were sharing that was, I remember the first time I visited Germany. It's cold over there. I'm Latin. I come from tropical areas. I grew up in San Diego, California. So we get there and I start layering up. And I found it so interesting that it was just a common practice. As you're leaving the house, first coat, second coat, third coat, scarves, you know, boots, mittens, something else, beanie cap, and then you walk out and you're like, and you're perfectly comfortable against the threats and the dangers and the discomforts of the outside world. And then you get to a cafe or wherever you're going, and maybe even if you're just stopping in for 5 minutes, you walk in, cap comes off, mitts come off, this comes off, that comes off, and you're hanging in. Well, every single cafe had like 50 pounds of weight on every chair because of all the coats. And what I find interesting about that is, what if we did that in life? When there is an actual environment of danger or threat, or that we need a little extra protection, or we need a little bit more surface around us, great, put it on then. When you don't need it, you take it off, just like you would when you go inside. And if somebody comes up to you and you're inside and like they've got the heat on in there, it's nice and toasty and cozy, but somebody comes and they're like, no, no, I think you should continue to wear this big puffy jacket. You're like, no, thanks. But why don't we do that in life? Somebody comes along and you've got this big dream and they're like, yeah, but I think you should probably do this instead. You're like, yeah, you're right. Right? And so I love that. This idea that, you know, when we actually start to shed those layers, what we do is we get more in touch with our own sense of self. We start to listen to our internal voice instead of all the external influences. I was talking with somebody just yesterday and we were talking about business and growth, and something I had heard many years back and I was repeating it to her. was that the only people you should ever listen to that in business, two people, somebody who's done it before or your clients. That's it. Nobody else. But most of us listen to a whole bunch of other people who've never done it. Actually makes me laugh, especially with relationship coaching. Every time I see a relationship coach that's single, I'm like... Now, if they're teaching dating and stuff like that, great, okay. But if it's like teaching relationship, I'm really kind of suspicious. All of us get to come back into touch with the wisdom that we have internally, right? We start to find an authenticity about it. And the beauty of authenticity is that it's unique. You're the only one who can bring it. And if you're the only one who can bring it, stop looking for somebody else to give you the power to do it. Realize that you're the one empowered to do it because it's yours. There's a motivational speaker named Lisa Nichols. She's great, very energetic and motivational. And she talks about when people have a vision and they get this big vision and then they're trying to go around and all these people are kind of putting doubts on their vision. They're like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. That's pretty big. Are you sure you can do it? And she said, you know, don't listen to any of them because the vision wasn't given to them. It was given to you. Because you have a capacity, you are empowered to that. And that comes to the second thing that Sarah said, that when you start to listen to your own sense of self, your own capacity, you also start to remember all those moments when you couldn't do something, you didn't know how to yet, you'd never done it before, and then you did. You didn't know how to walk before, and then you did. You didn't know how to, you know, cut your own food before, and then you did. You didn't know how to ride a bicycle, and then you did. You didn't know how to swim, and maybe then you did. And you didn't know how to drive a motorbike, and then you did. You didn't know how to travel, and then you did. Everything, for everybody in life, there was a moment when you didn't know how to do it yet. That's a great moment. Because that's the moment of decision, and you either disempower yourself by not moving forward, or you empower yourself by simply taking a step toward the future, toward what you want. So we're looking at this idea of empowerment. The image that I was looking for when I put a little post up on my Instagram for this talk and to share the idea of empowerment, I was looking for an image and I kind of found one, but it was of one person lifting up a bunch of other people. Because I think empowerment is, again, not just an individual effort. It's realizing the capacity, the strength, the confidence, the ability that you have to make a change for everybody, not just yourself. Most of the time, if we're just focused on ourselves, and this is different than filling your cup. Filling your cup, you fill your cup with what you want, what you enjoy, what nurtures and gives you pleasure and happiness and joy in life, right? But there's this other aspect that's around the survival of things. And when we're focused on our survival, that's self-preservation, not self-care. And self-preservation limits you. It's not empowering, it's limiting. But to be empowered is that you realize that you have so much capacity and you have so much abundance that you can actually start taking that and giving it forward as an overflow to others. And so there is a community aspect to empowerment. And if you start to look around, even in this room right now, you're going to notice that working together with others, feeling into things together with others, is often so much more powerful. How many of you, some of the questions that were asked or the comments, was of value to you? Right? I think for a lot of us, this happens all the time in group dynamics. One person asks a question and like half the group is like, oh yeah, I had that one too. But you maybe didn't even know it. That's because it happens in the group. It happens when you're not doing it alone. So third aspect of empowerment. If the first one is to shed the layers, the second one is to cultivate what you want, the third one, start to share and express it. Do it in community. Be supported. Invite and receive. There is not one success story that I can think of that the person did it completely by themselves. Most of the time, it's with a team effort. There were others helping along the way, even if just behind the scenes. And when we realize that we have support, this is a funny thing, it completes the circuit. The moment we realize that we are supported, always. And I say that because I know that no matter what, there's always someone or something supporting you in life. Even if it's just the ground beneath your feet, it's supporting you. And when you realize that, you can relax into that support. And when you relax, your nervous system feels safe. When your nervous system feels safe, you come out of the amygdala, this little reptilian survival mindset part of the brain, into the creative cortex, the frontal part, where you start problem solving and creating and looking at all the other possibilities, and oh, how empowering is that? And when we talk specifically about a journey into the heart and empowering that, this is the tricky one, because I know for a lot of us, we have gone through heartbreak. We have gone through moments where we felt broken in our hearts or aching, or maybe we feel like our heart is too big and it's overwhelming for other people. Whatever story that you have had, know that your unique expression will be received when you start allowing it. It's not about an external permission or approval or stamp of worthiness. If you're focused on that, you're going to be in the race for a long time. But if instead you can start to feel into and go, wait, let me give it to myself first, this love, this tenderness, this nurturing, this safety, this care, and you start to empower yourself. Maybe another word for empowerment is permission. I think that's actually the simpler word. You give yourself permission. I like that. Sometimes I actually share with my clients, especially when they're telling me a lot of stories of excuse and justification for the struggles that they have, I say, well, do it anyway. They're like, do I really want this? Okay, why aren't you doing it? Well, because of this and this and this. I'm like, oh, do it anyway. But I can't until I do this. Well, no, you could. Give yourself permission. And so we get to do that. We start to give ourselves permission in life. And all that really means is to allow for change. It's to allow for change. If where you are in your life in this moment isn't exactly what you would like or isn't moving and growing in the way that you would like, then allow for change. Notice the word allow doesn't say force, manipulate, cause. It just says you give it permission. Because that's the beauty about life and this reality that we're in, is that everything is always changing. Unless we hold on to something and attach to it, which often is the histories and traumas of our past. It's the limitations. It's the mindsets that say, oh, I'm only able to do this. Let those go. Because as soon as you do, you're going to make space for so much more. I'm going to summarize as best as I can what we've been sharing today. We have about 2 more minutes here. We've been talking about empowerment, and we started to look at the idea that empowerment is this inner vision of feeling and noticing your own capacity, your own ability, and not based on your history, because that's limited, but based on the infinite possibility of your future. And when you do that, you turn from this place of the past, where you're often avoiding and running away from it. You don't have to. It's already out of your way. And you turn around towards your future. And in so doing, suddenly, the canvas is clean and ready. And all you have to do is start planting seeds into that fertile soil of possibility, and things start to grow automatically. And the beauty is that if you plant an apple seed, what are you going to get? Apple trees and apples, right? So why would we have doubt if we plant an apple seed and we're like, what if I get plums? You won't! You're going to get apples every time. All you have to do is plant the seed and then fertilize it. Nurture it, give it your care, and then that's you stepping forward with consistency. Every step you take is like you're watering it, giving it some sunlight, and in so doing, it starts to grow. And eventually, this is the beauty, it's this compounding effect. You get a tree that has so many fruits on it, it's more than you need yourself. And you can share it. You can express it. There's an abundance in that. And that, I think, is what empowerment is. Thank you, everybody.